Welcome into another episode of the NHL at the Rink podcast, and it is the conference final preview episode of the podcast. But Sean, before we go and before we get there, we gotta look back for a quick second here at Game 7, Montreal, Buffalo. What a game. What a series. And Alex Newhook, again, two Game 7 winners. Alex Newhook is living his best life in just a span of a couple of weeks. It may, now maybe for him personally, it gets better. Professionally, Sean, I can't see how it gets better on an individual basis for Alex Newhook. This is a guy who's won the Stanley Cup, but two Game 7 winners? I mean, that's the stuff that you know, that's what you're doing in the driveway, when you're 8 years old, as Mike Matheson said during the intermission before overtime.
Yeah, he's a hero. Like, he has become an icon and a franchise full of icons. Just by doing what he's done, it doesn't matter what else he does. But he's been that way his whole life. Pride of Newfoundland, St. John's, and he's won everywhere he's gone. He was immediate impact in college, immediate impact with the Avalanche when he came. You mentioned he won a cup there. And he's been one of those glue guys for Montreal. You know, I think he had 13 goals in the regular season. He's halfway there in the postseason. Couldn't be happier for him. He's a guy, I think, you know, he does everything right. And the journey is unbelievable, right? Like I mentioned, he grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland. He went to Victoria, British Columbia, to play his junior hockey because there's no junior hockey in Newfoundland that gets scouted. You have to leave. Every Newfoundlander that's played in the NHL has left. He went to Victoria. You couldn't go anyplace further. And then he came back and he went to BC and everything else he did. And here he is, and he's delivering on the biggest stages, and good for him.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely delivers. And I will say this just to add one more thing there. Rasmus Dahlin is going to see that one in his sleep, in his nightmares for a while. Josh Norris wins the faceoff. Tage Thompson gets it back to Dahlin. He's got a one-timer from the left point. He holds the puck instead. The Sabres turn it over at the blue line. Instead of putting the puck at the net, or at least putting it deep, the Sabres turn it over at the blue line, and there comes Alex Newhook down, and he scores the game-winning, overtime-winning, game-seven-winning goal to set up the Carolina Hurricanes and the Montreal Canadiens in the Eastern Conference Final. And we already knew we had the Colorado Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Conference Final. Vegas and Colorado starts Wednesday night, and then Carolina and Montreal get going Thursday. Our guest this week, Eddie Olczyk, will be covering, calling the games in the Carolina-Montreal series for TNT with Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher. We're going to get to Eddie here soon. We'll talk a lot about that Eastern Conference Final with him. But the Carolina Hurricanes, Sean, I mean, it'll be 11 full days since they played a game. This is Thursday will be the 12th day. They got to be bored, like bored out of their minds. How many drills can you run? How much time can you spend working on your power play, which wasn't good in the first two rounds, or your penalty kill, which was elite in the first two rounds? Like, it's about time they got an opponent, and it's about time that they get a morning skate, which will finally happen Thursday.
It is hard, but it's also beneficial, right? Like, what's the one knock on Carolina Hurricane in all these years when they failed? It's Freddie Anderson. Right. And his perceived lack of durability. At some point he's faded or he's gotten hurt in every run. He's got all the rest in the world. He's not tired. He's not nicked up. You know, they're fully healthy. They're fully invested. I think Rod Brind'Amour has learned a lot from some of the failures that they've experienced during his time there. And he seems like a different coach at this point. So I think they could be a little bit rusty. I don't know how you're not. And, you know, you can't simulate games, right? Nazem Kadri here in Denver, when I was talking to him at their last practice on Sunday, he said, you can't simulate what we're going to go through. It doesn't matter. You just need to be on the ice and to have fun because there's so much stress, you know, that you're involved in. The ability to detach for a week mentally, as long as the Hurricanes can re-engage before it gets away from them, is going to be immense. The Montreal Canadiens are exhausted. They're not physically exhausted. You know, Eddie's going to talk about Jacob Dobish and playing 40 more games. Nobody's physically exhausted at this time of year. They are mentally fried.
They are. They have to be when you play two game sevens, whereas Carolina's mentally fresh. And I actually think, so there's a lot of talk about this extra day for Montreal, and Eddie will touch on it too, and how that helps turn the page, because your emotions, you can't just turn it off, right? You've got to come down from the game seven win. That's what today, Tuesday, is for. Wednesday is when you ramp it up to get to play Carolina. That extra day helps. If they had to go in and play Wednesday, that would have been tough for them, right? But they have that day. But that's the same for Carolina, because Carolina has been waiting for an opponent. Now they know. That's why I think Carolina on Wednesday, when they get back on the ice for practice, they're off today, Tuesday. It's going to be their most important practice of the season, because that's the one where they start really focusing in on their opponent. It's been all about themselves over the last 10 days, whatever it is. Now they can turn to an opponent. And the coaches are no doubt doing that Tuesday. They'll pre-scout all that stuff, and then they can turn to it. I don't think Carolina is going to be rusty. I really don't. I think that their style of play eliminates rust. I think it's just that they know exactly what they're supposed to do. They could be off for a month. They will get right back to doing what they do. It's like robotic for them, because they do it and they do it so well. So I don't see rust for them. I think they're going to be fine, Sean. And I also look at it this way too. This round has been the demon round, right, for Carolina. 1-12 under Rod Brind'Amour in the Eastern Conference Final. This is their fourth trip. If you go back to 2009, they're 1-16 in the Eastern Conference Final in four trips since 2009. This is the best Hurricanes team that Rod Brind'Amour has had. The difference being the skill that they've infused with the style of play that they play. Jackson Blake's a perfect example. Logan Stankoven's a perfect example. Taylor Hall, perfect example. Keandre Miller is another perfect example. Nick Ehlers. These guys have come in and they've established a skill level along with whatever Carol, you know, the same, you know, relentless pursuit, relentless forechecking game that Carolina has. I think Carolina's going to be just fine.
I agree with you in that they are plug and play. You know, you turn over the engine,
yeah,
and it goes, right? And you saw that coming out of the Olympics. Like, they didn't miss a beat. They were the same exact team. Their sticks are unbelievable, the way that they play, you know, and are able to take things away. Jacob Slavin is just a master of it. I don't think Montreal has seen this, what they're going to see. They're going to run into a wood chipper. And I'm not saying they can't figure it out, but they are going to get frustrated really quickly. Like, Tampa took some ice away, but Tampa still wanted to go and still left some ice. Buffalo, my God. Oh, that was river hockey. It was great to watch. I think the Canadians were almost shocked early in that series with the amount of time and space they had, and they had to recalibrate their minds. There's going to be no time and no space. And the thing I wonder about Montreal, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if they said last night. I wonder what they do. Do they go home, or do they go straight to Carolina?
Yeah.
If I'm Montreal, I go straight to Carolina. There's no way I let those guys walk into the city of Montreal, which is just crazed right now. Like, you want your guys focused, right? And I send them straight to Carolina and let them sleep for 36 hours and then go about my business.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I am not aware right now of what they did. So we will see. What they do. I mean, right now, Tuesday, there's no media availability for the Canadians right now. So they'll be back. You know, we'll hear from them on Wednesday. They absolutely have to be in Raleigh on Wednesday. So that's the Eastern Conference Final. Before we get to Edzo, Sean, let's look at the West here. You got Vegas and Colorado. You're in Denver. You've been there for a little bit covering the Avalanche as they've waited to start this conference final. Mitch Marner has been just a terrific story. And he's rewriting the narrative of what he left Toronto with, okay, especially later in as good as he has been as the series has gone on. That was the knock on him in Toronto, is that, well, everybody in Toronto, the production went down, right? You know, after game four in a playoff series, Marner's picked it up in a big way after game four. Well, I mean, throughout the whole playoffs, but he's been really good at the later the series has gone on, and so have the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't know if they can win without, I don't even know if they can come close against Colorado if they don't have Mark Stone. And if Mark Stone is so vitally important to everything that Vegas does, and you talk about Montreal has not seen this yet, what they're going to face against Carolina, Vegas has not seen this yet, what they're going to face against Colorado in the playoffs.
Mark Stone is huge. I think he's going to define the series, whether he can play or not, at what percentage he's going to play. Their center depth is, you know, I think one of the tipping points in the series. But to go back to Mitch Marner for a second, you know, I got asked, I was on Sirius last week, and I got asked, you know, about Mitch, and obviously in Toronto, everybody's like, oh, he leaves and he does all this, and how could he do this? What's the difference? When he was in Toronto, he played with a bunch of guys that didn't know how to win. That's no slap on them. They hadn't done it. They didn't know how to do it. They were nervous. They were scared. They didn't know how to climb the mountain. Now he sits in a room with gold medal winners, with Stanley Cup winners, with guys who thrive when their backs are against the wall, and they show him how to do it. And then your skill takes over, right? But when you don't have any support, when you're amongst a bunch of guys all together, it's like putting 10 guys in a room and telling them to learn French, and none of them speak French.
You're right.
Go figure this out together. But there's nobody to say, here's what this word means and here's what that word means. Now he walks into a room where they're all fluent in Stanley Cup.
You are 100% right. That is the difference. That is 100% the difference. We could factor in the emphasis of there isn't the same level of quote unquote pressure on Mitch Marner because he's not in Toronto. There is. Of course there is, because he signed a massive deal to go win the Stanley Cup with the Vegas Golden Knights. And not just once. He signed a massive deal to go win the Stanley Cup multiple times with the Vegas Golden Knights. He has to be good. There's pressure associated with that. It's a different pressure than playing in your hometown, playing in Toronto, but there's pressure associated with that. I don't care what it is. It's different, whatever. There's still pressure. But you're 100% right. Marner walked into a room where he is now been or being taught everything it takes to win in the playoffs. That was the downfall of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They never had anybody that to show them that. It was like, it was just like expected that it was just going to happen for them. Well, it doesn't just happen for them. You have to be able to. I mean, Vegas, when they won it for the first time, they had a couple of guys who'd won it before. Alex Pietrangelo. How big was Alex Pietrangelo in that Vegas run in 2023? He was huge. They had been to this. A number of other guys had been to the Stanley Cup final before. Pietrangelo had won the Stanley Cup before. Jonathan Quick with Aiden Hill won it twice before. Marner now sees all these guys, and he's like, all right, I'm going to follow what he's doing. I'm going to follow what he's doing, and then I'm going to do my own thing too. And voila, you got Mitch Marner as a Conn Smythe Trophy favorite.
Yeah, skill doesn't win in the playoffs.
No.
It never has. It's not a skill game. It's a will game. And he has the will because there's people around him who have the will and who demand that you have it. There are no excuses. You do it. That's all they know, and that's all they'll accept. And I don't think they had that in Toronto. And again, no fault to the players. There was nobody there to do it. There was nobody there to set that culture. So good on him. There's some other favorites for the Conn Smythe. Dorofiev in Vegas is another one, right? 9 goals in 12 games. I think it's going to be a really interesting series. I don't see it as lopsided as a lot of people do. I think, again, if Mark Stone is unavailable, that's somewhat problematic. But Colorado doesn't have Lekkonen, and to me, he's Mark Stone light in the way that he touches all the parts of the game for them. So that's going to be huge. McCarr hasn't practiced yet, since the end of the Minnesota series. He's clearly, there's something wrong, and he's trying to get better, and a little bit of a break hopefully helps. So Colorado needs to stay healthy. You know, Jared Bednar said the other day, I was asking him just about how mentally exhausting the playoffs are. And he's like, it's so hard to win this trophy because you have to be good. You have to be lucky. You have to be tough and able to play through injuries. And then on top of all that, you have to be mentally tough, right? And Colorado is the clear favorite. They're the President's Trophy. Noted that no President's Trophy winner has won the Cup since Chicago in 13. But they're the clear favorites, but they need to survive. And if McCarr's limited, if other guys are limited, that changes the rubric.
It does. And McCarr is limited because he will. I have no doubt that McCarr will play. He hasn't really skated or practiced in the playoffs. He got hurt March 30th against the Calgary Flames and hasn't been right since. And then it was clear that he re-injured it when Zuccarello in game five against Minnesota, Matt Zuccarello gave him a little reverse hit. And McCarr had to leave the game for a little bit. He hasn't been shooting the puck near the way McCarr shoots the puck. He is compromised. Lehkonen is compromised. Malinsky is compromised. Manson is compromised. That's the great equalizer. That is, and even with the Stone injury, that's the great equalizer for Vegas. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a better series than a lot of people are predicting. That said, you know, Nathan MacKinnon is the type of guy who I could see just willing his team to a win in this series with all those injuries, just the way he is. Like, don't hand him a stuffed animal, put it that way. All right. Nathan MacKinnon is willing his team, even if they're banged up. But let's get to Edzo. We got the great Eddie Olczyk. He's going to be in Raleigh. I will be in Raleigh. He's going to be covering, calling the Eastern Conference Final with Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher for TNT. Talked a lot about that. Some about Vegas is in Colorado as well. Here is the great Eddie Olczyk. Edzo, thanks so much for joining us. So you, like me, heading to Raleigh here for game one, Thursday night. Montreal gets it done. Montreal and Carolina. Just initial thoughts here, Edzo. What do you think of this Eastern Conference Final that you're going to be calling with Kenny and Bush?
Well, Danny and Sean, nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. I know Sean requested me a while back, and I'm sure somebody canceled on you, Danny, earlier today to call me out of the bullpen there and get the right hander.
First choice, always the first choice
Yeah,
when you
right.
respond. When you respond.
I think my first initial thoughts is, how much time off Carolina has had, and considering the role that they've been on, they've got one of the top coaches in the league, and for a long, long time, Rod Brind'Amour has been just that. So how is it going to affect them after being, what is it exactly, 12? It'll be 12 days. Is that what the number, I
Yep.
think, I've seen? I've seen 11, seen 12, whatever. So that's obviously the first initial thought. And then the quick turn around for the Habs. We see them win two game sevens, where for the majority of both of those games, they were not the better team, and they found a way to win a hockey game. And I think you got to look at the guy standing behind the bench, in Marty St. Louis, to be able to continue to build those guys up, even when it looks like the season is on the verge of being over, but they find a way. And obviously Alex Newhook with two huge goals and putting himself in hockey history. So, I mean, I think game one's going to be, game one's really going to be interesting. I think the easy thing to say would be, well, the well-rested team, they're going to come out and they're going to blitz the Canadians, and Carolina is going to have their way with them. But it could go the other way, Danny and Sean, where maybe Carolina comes out and I know this is a family show, but I like they come out and they just let it all hang out early, and then what do they have maybe as the game goes on? Maybe it's one of those type of games where Montreal can hang around and give themselves a chance. So I think for the Canadians, or excuse me, for the Hurricanes, I think that they probably like to get a real early lead there in the first period and maybe take the will out of the Canadians. And I think for the Canadians, it would be, let's be even or tied after one, and then let's give ourselves a chance, because you know, we are probably on fumes, and you know, the extra day will certainly help. So long-winded, I'm not sure what the hell to expect in the first game, but you know, Montreal is going to be up against it against Carolina. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they are relentless. They have not faced a team like this so far in the playoffs that have the ability to be able to defend and also skate and pressure the puck. And I know Montreal is able to do that, but this will really be the first time they're going to face a team that can really kind of get up and go and play that offensive type of game. So it should be a hell of a series, but I'm really interested in game one to see how both teams respond considering what they've just come off of.
And so we just talked about it. You know, Carolina is the clear favorite in this series. They're the Eastern Conference champions. They haven't lost the game yet. They've looked dominant doing it. Montreal's barely survived, but they're still a 100-point team, but they barely survived each series. At times, they've looked pedestrian. Have they entered the role of Cinderella, where no matter what the numbers say, no matter what the situation says, you just have to be like, well, they're going to win?
Yeah, I don't know about Cinderella, but I certainly know is that there is an unbelievable belief. We did game seven on TNT in round one against Tampa, and you could just feel it talking to Marty St. Louis. Brendan Gallagher was in the lineup that night. He had talked to Jackie Redman prior to the game and in our green room. So you could just feel and understand why there is just so much confidence, and to know why they are having the success that they are. And it may not look pretty at times. Yeah, it may look, it may be difficult to understand how they're finding a way, but when you get unbelievable goaltending and you get timely goals and you have a atmosphere in Montreal, which I am really excited to see in person and to take in on our TNT coverage for games three and four in this series. It's not hard to believe, because I think Sean and Danny, we've seen this in the playoffs before where teams just get on a run and they find ways to win games and the puck bounces certain ways and you ride that wave. And I'm not surprised to see it, because it kind of felt, at least in my opinion, that there could be one of those types of runs when you look at who did not make the playoffs this year and the teams that did, and would one of them be able to take advantage. And at least to this point, the Canadians have found ways to beat two really, really good hockey teams. And now they're going to go up against a team that was the best in the Eastern Conference. And as you mentioned, Sean, to this point, doesn't have any blemishes on their win-loss record so far in the playoffs.
So, Edzo, what impresses you about the way Marty St. Louis coaches? You've referenced him a few times. What impresses you from what you've seen from Marty as a coach? We know what he is as a player, but what about a coach?
Yeah. He just seems to have a great feel for what certain guys need, you know, or what guys need, what certain buttons to be able to push, to not be afraid to sit there and play guys a boatload, or to just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to just go with five defensemen and 11 forwards and I'm going to ride it out. And, you know, it may not be the right way, or it may not be the most favorable for the guys that aren't playing a lot, but I'm going to do what I think is right. And so I just think he has a feel for the game, and just watching him, you know, work the bench and having a good feel, like when you get a guy like Kirby Dach or Bull Duke, or, you know, guys that are your so-called role players, and they do get you a goal or two. He's just not sitting there going where the analytics would say, if your fourth line gets you two goals, chances are of them getting a third goal are probably, so I'm not going to play him, you know, I'm not going to play him as much because the chances of them getting scored on are probably greater than them getting another goal. But what ends up happening, they're on the ice in overtime, they win a game, and the rest is history. So I just think that the way that he sees the game and feels the game and acts on it, that's what I really like about him getting. And believe me, I'm not – I can compare myself to when Marty got the job in Montreal as a head coach, not coaching in Montreal, but having no experience at any higher level. I lived the same thing 20-plus years ago in Pittsburgh. So I can relate to a lot of the things that he has gone through. And now, obviously, him having the success that he is, I never got to that stage. But when I see a guy have success like this, that was an unbelievable player, Hall of Fame player, so well-liked, so well-respected, and then to be able to jump into that hockey hotbed and be able to rise with this team and get a lot out of this team just speaks, I think, to the hockey IQ and the ability that he has to be able to communicate. But I think it has a lot to, Danny, is the feel that he has as a former player and then also being able to act on it in game. You look at him, he gets, you know, he gets lathered up every once in a while, which I like. I like seeing guys get a little fired up, but I think he's very – I think he's very selective on when he does decide to snap or decide to get overly excited or emotional. And I couldn't be happier for him because he is one of the class guys we've had in the league for a long time.
Yeah, and he showed it. We put Kapanen in for Game 7. He hadn't played since early in the Tampa Bay series. He had the first chance of the game and, you know, looked really good out there. I think the coaching synergy in this series is unbelievable because, to me, they're carbon copies of each other. Rod Brind'Amour is just further along the spectrum, right? He followed the same route that Marty did, you know, great player with the organization, which is the one difference, and won a cup there. And now he's, you know, 8 years in. And I don't know about you, and you could probably speak to it more, but it seems like he's finally accepted who he is and the journey that they've been on, and it's changed their mindset completely.
You're talking about Roddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the experience that he's gained of being in Carolina and, you know, obviously playing and, you know, for as long as he did and, you know, the work ethic and, you know, the team seems to have the personality and the work commitment of their coach that we've seen and heard about and the training and all those type of things. And, you know, he has a style that he wants them to play. And again, there's another coach that plays guys in certain roles and believes in them and gets a lot out of guys. And I mean, he's, like I said, I said it earlier. I mean, he's been one of the top coaches in the league for a long, long time. And regardless of wins in the regular season or success or lack thereof in the playoffs, because everybody's judged on one thing, and that's, you know, eventually getting to a Stanley Cup and winning it, is, you know, I mean, obviously with him coaching now, but he's been a part of that fabric of that, you know, that community and that organization for a long, long time. He has a way of going, you know, he has a way of about doing things, and you can't argue. The only thing with Carolina is that they just haven't been able to this point, and they've been perfect so far in these playoffs. So up until these playoffs, they just haven't been able to take the next step, and they just haven't been able to, you know, to get to a cup final and have that ultimate success. But anything other than that, I mean, you can't argue because the numbers are what they are. And at least in these playoffs so far, Sean, they're perfect. And I thought going into the playoffs, and I said publicly that the way it's set up in the East this year, there are no excuses for Carolina to make a run because you had no Florida, Yeah, no Toronto. You had no Rangers, no Devils. And they've taken care of business. And you got to play who's on your schedule, and you got to play who's in your line. And they've done that. And you have to tip your hockey helmet to them off to them. And now they have Montreal coming in. And yeah, they are the overwhelming favorites, but there's still a lot of work to do. And you got a team that's coming in that certainly believes in what they're doing. And they got a guy in goal that said post game last night, he's not tired and he could play another 40 games if need be. But the last time I checked, he's only going to need to play another 14 if they're going to win the Stanley Cup. So he should be feeling awfully good that he only has to play possibly 14 more than having to play 40 more games.
Well, if they have to play 14 more, I don't know if they win the cup. But you never know. You
Well,
never know.
Dobish thought he could play another 40. So
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
know.
hey,
Yeah.
you know what? God bless them. And
Yeah.
they've got belief, and they've got a guy in goal. And speaking of goal, I mean, Freddie Anderson's, there's been times in both those first two series where he played really well and helped them, get to where they are right now. And good for good for Freddie.
So, Edzo, I know we're talking a lot about Carolina, Montreal, the East. That's where you guys are going to be
Yeah.
for TNT. But it's like the elephant in the room is the West and Colorado. You and I were both in Denver. They're down 3-0, game 5 against the Wild. And then it was like, we know they were never out of it. They come back and win the game. They score the 2 goals in the last 3.5 minutes to get the one in overtime. To me, that game felt like nothing is stopping the Avalanche this year.
Yeah.
Did you get that feeling?
I think the feeling I got, and we had touched on it, Kenny Bush and I, at the end of, I'm sorry, that was after one, right? That was after one, right? 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
We had suggested late in the first that they were still in it and they needed to make a goaltending change. They needed to get Blackwood out and get Wedgewood back in. And to me, and we had, and I know our studio talked about that they should just ride it out and save Wedgewood for game six. And so I thought it was interesting, back and forth. But the point I'm trying to make is I don't know if Jared Bednar got enough credit for making that decision, because it certainly got his team's attention. Now, you can't. You want to maybe say the one goal was a bad goal that Blackwood gave up, but the team wasn't very good. They were lethargic. Minnesota had them on the ropes. They did have the disallowed goal with McCarron. I think that was a delayed penalty
Yep.
situation where he batted it in very close, but I think the right call. So I just think that the move by Jared Bednar gave that team the belief. And I don't think he gets enough credit for the job that he has done there and the coach that he is and has become. Just that move right there, I thought was, I mean, that you talk about primary assist. He gets the primary assist there for making that goaltending change. But they're a quick strike team. They did it out without Malinsky and Lehkonen, which, or Terry Lehkonen might be one of those guys you talk about. Maybe he's in the team photo, Danny and Sean. That is, you talk about underrated players. Like he's a hell of a player. And then Sam Malinsky, the emergence of him allowed them to move Samuel Girard out. Because that's what they thought of Malinsky, and he moved him up into a top four role. So they, and I know Minnesota missed Eriksson Ek and Brodin. I mean, that was more later in the series. But at the start of the series, is it a different series with Eriksson Ek and Brodin? I think it's a longer series. I don't know if it's a different outcome, but I think it's a longer series. So with all that said, and giving the props to Jared Bednar for making the goaltending change and ending that series, it didn't surprise me because Colorado just does have that ability to be a quick strike team. And I don't want to say no deficit is going to be hard to overcome, but you know, 3-0 for them is you get one on a power play, and all of a sudden it's a one goal game. So, but they just have that ability. So, was I surprised? I wasn't, because I don't think they could play any worse in period one. And I think if you ask them, you know, that might have been one of the, you know, maybe one of the toughest periods that they played all season. But you got to give credit to Minnesota, because they showed them absolutely no respect and put them on their heels, and probably wish they had a 4 or 5-0 lead in that game.
The funny thing, Edzo, was when I got here, the first day I was here, Parker Kelly said, when they walked in the room after one period, he said, the veterans said, 3-0, it's a long time to hold that lead. And it ended up being true. My question for you, though, is what does Vegas have to do to make this a long series that they can end up advancing?
Yeah, I think it is a long series. I've heard people say Colorado in five. I've heard some people think it might be a sweep, which I don't see. But look at, you know, things happen. I think for Vegas, Carter Hart has probably flown under the radar here, as far as goaltenders of all the teams that are still alive. He has come and solidified that position. Where did it cost Bruce Cassidy his gig? With the goaltending being what it was without Carter Hart. Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with it. But Torts has come in, hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot. We talked to him when we were in there for, I think it was maybe game two of the Anaheim series. We saw Torts and chatted with him, and they check. And I don't know if Vegas gets under Bruce Cassidy and under Torts, or they've always been a team that has been a good checking team. And it doesn't mean, I think it's more than just being defensive. I think they check really well 200 feet away from the goaltenders. I think they play without the puck very well. They were tested in that Anaheim series. Let's not kid yourself. Like they really were. And you could argue for three of the first four games in that series, Anaheim was the better team and probably deserved better than being tied at 2-2. So I just think that they got to check really well, Sean. I think that they got to continue to get that goaltending from Carter Hart. And, Mitch Marner has played obviously extremely well and scored some huge goals for them. They got Hurdle finally on the scoreboard after going 27 or 28 games without scoring, which is really kind of hard to believe when you get a guy that's on pretty much every power play that Vegas gets. But he's gotten, you know, he's gotten a couple of goals, so he's got to be feeling good about himself. I think it's a hell of a matchup. I would be shocked if it goes anything less than six, but it is Colorado series. Like, they are the favorites, and rightfully so. But Vegas, they've been there. They've got an air about them. They've got a swagger about them. They're going to give Colorado everything that they want. But they got to check. They got to be able to check and play that type of game, and should be great. It should be a great series.
Edzo, you're the best. We really appreciate you jumping on with us. I'll see you in a few days, and we'll see what goes on here. But Carolina, Montreal, Colorado, Vegas should be a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much.
All right, Danny, Shawnee, thanks. And Danny, make sure you bring the reindeer, all right? Make sure you bring the reindeer to Raleigh, all right?
Great stuff there with Eddie Olczyk. Again, I'll see him in Raleigh. He'll be there calling games for TNT with Kenny Albert and Brian Boucher in the Eastern Conference Final. TNT has that one. ESPN in the U.S. has the Western Conference Final. So, Sean, we've touched on all of the stuff that's going on in the playoffs, but there's some obvious odds and ends and things going on outside of the playoffs. There's only four teams are still playing, so that means the rest are in their off season. There's a lot of stuff going on with the coaching situation with the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and a little bit on the Los Angeles Kings as well, and it all involves Bruce Cassidy. former coach in Vegas, and some with Craig Berube, former coach with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I mean, it's kind of like a little bit of a roller coaster, if you will, with all this. Vegas, to date, from what we've heard, has not granted permission for Bruce Cassidy to talk with the Edmonton Oilers. He is still under contract with them. Toronto has granted permission for Edmonton to talk with Craig Berube. Edmonton's got to, this has got to be the right guy. They got to get this right. We don't know if they're going to get it right when they make the hire, but they're clearly looking at experience, and they're clearly looking at the biggest names available.
Well, they are. And look, I think that Bruce Cassidy, if he ever gets permission, I think he's a good fit, right? I think that he's dealt with teams built somewhat like Edmonton, plays a not super conservative style. I don't know that Craig Berube's the right choice. Look, Craig Berube's won a Stanley Cup. He, you know, I don't think he was a bad coach in Toronto. I think, you know, by the end they were playing out the string. I don't know if you want to play dump and chase hockey in Edmonton with two supremely skilled players. So I think they let the best choice go. I think the best choice to coach that team is Knobloch.
Well, you may be right. How can you argue? Right? I mean, he's taken the team to the Stanley Cup final twice. Connor McDavid said it. They were an average team this year that overperformed, right?
And they were no different than the team from the past 2 years. They were average the past 2 years, and they got to the Stanley Cup final both years. Who did that?
It was Knobloch. Knobloch. And this is, listen, I think that they looked at Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl's comments after they lost the Anaheim series and said, well, something's got to change because these two are frustrated and they don't think we're going in the right direction. So the easiest thing to do is change the coach. They may have let the best candidate go. We won't know that. They clearly need to, coaching or not coaching, I could be behind the bench. They got to shore up their goaltending. They got to figure that out. Okay. They made that worse. Let's be honest. They made that worse this season, and they've got to make that better. That's number one. That has to be their number one priority. But here's why I think Bruce Cassidy is the best coach, and obviously I'll agree with you on this. A, I don't think you can play dump and chase hockey in Edmonton, not with the players that they have. He will allow the skill. You have to allow the skill when you have McDavid and Draisaitl going. That's obvious. They run that team in that way. Defensively, here's the biggest reason. Bruce Cassidy likes his defensemen to pack the house. Right? That's what they've done. That they had a lot of success doing that in Vegas. Edmonton is too loose. They're too wide open. Always have been defensively deficient and not good enough in net, right? If you can get these, you could bring the same group of defensemen back and you get them to play Bruce Cassidy's style, they'll be better. You can't bring the same group of defensemen back because they weren't good enough. You have to make changes there, okay? You have to make changes in net. But I like the style of play that Cassidy has in the defensive zone. Cover the net front. From the net front out, not from the points in, right? And that's what I think it's going to be. I think that would make a big difference defensively for Edmonton. And listen, the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup with Aiden Hill in net. You don't need Andrei Vasilevsky. You don't need Vezina quality goaltending. Look at the goalies that are still playing, Sean. Freddie Anderson, Jacob Dobish, Carter Hart, Scott Wedgwood, Mackenzie Blackwood. It's a mixed bag, but not a single one of these guys has been a Vezina Trophy winner. Not a single one of these guys is a guy you consider, you know, a perennial Vezina contender. The most experienced is Freddie Anderson, and he's played a lot of playoff games, but it's not like, but he's always had a knock on him. You just need to play better defensively, and you need better goaltending. You don't need world-class goaltending to win. They got to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row with Stuart Skinner, and they might have been able to get out of the first round if they had Stuart Skinner this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you could play Bruce Cassidy hockey with that group of defensemen, and I don't know how you change it. They're so tied up and with salary cap and salaries and untradeable assets, you were not going to get Darnell Nurse and Evan Boucher and that group.
Bouchard, yeah.
To pack the house.
Not Bouchard, but you can get some other guys to do it.
I don't see it, but, you know, there's so much to do on that to-do list. I don't know how you get it done in the time frame, the self-imposed time frame that Connor's put on it.
Well, that's the other reason why Cassidy might be the right coach, because he's also a time frame coach as well. So we'll see where it goes. Toronto also looking for a coach. From everything we've heard, that they're not close to naming one. They have apparently a long list of candidates, what they're doing there. A lot of changes going on in Toronto. We could do multiple podcasts about them. And the one other thing I did want to bring up was Quinn Hughes, his post-mortem after the season, saying he could see himself being there. He wants to re-sign in Minnesota. He likes it there. I think Quinn Hughes is probably looking at a 2 or 3 year extension. It puts him on a timeline with his brother Jack to see where things can go from there. But you never know when a guy goes into a new market after being in one market for as long as Quinn Hughes was in Vancouver. He absolutely loves it there. The fit is great. And I just love Billy Guerin saying no one's untouchable. And this is, we haven't gotten what we want, and we're going to go after it and we're going to get it. So they are a team to watch, no question.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit there. And speaking of brothers making news, how about the Sedins?
Yeah.
In Vancouver. I really like what they've done. It puts a little bit of a jolt into the market. And those are two guys who are really prideful about themselves, really prideful of their legacy, really prideful of the Canucks. I don't think you can go wrong when you bring that investment into your team. Are they going to have to learn on the fly? Yes. But there's a GM in place now to help them. But they're independent. They won't be cowed. And I think it's going to be a really good setup.
Yeah, and they do everything together, so there's not a surprise about that. And also that they're rewarding Ryan Johnson for the job that he's done, too, as the general manager. So, I mean, it's rare that it would work for two people to be co-presidents. It doesn't always work, but these guys essentially share two brains. So
yeah, it doesn't work because of egos.
Yeah,
and these guys are not egotistical, and certainly not with each other. They are one. They've named one person into the position. Two other things really quick. One of the best tournaments in hockey besides the Stanley Cup is going to happen. The Memorial Cup field is set. It's going to be fantastic. And the Worlds, I'm going to make a statement right now. The Worlds are going on. The run of U.S. medals coming to an end, buddy.
Coming to an end. Yeah, it's coming to an end. That's right. The Memorial Cup is set. The Worlds are going on. Stanley Cup playoffs are in the conference finals. There's a lot of hockey going on here, Sean. And we're approaching June, which is always the best month of the season because that is the Stanley Cup final. And then we've got the draft. So much more to do. You got game one on Wednesday. I got game one on Thursday. Looking forward to it?
I cannot wait, my friend. I cannot wait. We'll be well into the series when we talk next week. And I'm sure we'll have a few things to talk about.
I would guarantee it. And maybe some coaching moves as well. Who knows? Until then, enjoy the hockey.